Welcome to Conscious Communication, the podcast that can help you improve your company's culture and better your team's communication, helping you build more significant relationships. Now here's your host, Philip Bogolub.
I have the privilege and honor of talking with Judith Costa. I get that right? Excellent. See, yeah, I'm bad at names. And you think with Bogolub that I would be easy, right? But no, I screw it up all the time. She is an unconditional love coach, seminar leader, and a writer, and has a master's degree in analytical psychology. I'd like to break analytical and psychology down, but that's coming from engineering point of view. She also teaches, I think it's, how do you say, Akashic?
Akashic Records, yeah.
Oh, I got it right. Akashic Records, and if we have time, I'd love to talk a little bit about that. Anne is a happiness trainer. How could you go wrong with that? Judith, thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you, Philip. I'm thrilled to be here with you. So excited.
Thank you. Now, I'll ask you, like I ask everybody, what was that serendipity, that accident, that coincidence? Because you just didn't do all this stuff and turn in that direction. Something was kind of pushing you and then pushing you. And every time you resisted it, it kept pushing you in that direction. Like, okay, Khan, I give. And so what was that thing? And I'm sure there's a bunch of them. What comes to mind that got you where you are now?
Oh, yeah. I just need all the interview to explain you this.
Give me a big picture.
Yeah, a lot of synchronicities. And believe it or not, what changed my life were dreams and the concept of soulmates. I was so excited about reading a book on soulmates that I wanted to demonstrate myself that my husband at that time was my soulmate. And that was my spiritual awakening. I started dreaming with this person, show up in my real life. It was one of my first boyfriend, believe it or not, when I was 16 and a half, when I was like really putting all my intention on finding true love. Then this person came back, like soulmates do. And it didn't come back in real life. It came back through dreams. A lot of things happen. It's an amazing story, but we don't have time for that. Anyway, I realized that what was happening in my marriage was not the love that I wanted, even though I love my husband and my ex-husband now, and I will love him forever. But then the universe was sending me like little clues that my life was in New York. And I say, from Barcelona, moving to New York. I was doing this master of psychology and psychotherapy that you mentioned. At that moment, I had my own business. Then there was no opportunity to just leave everything behind and move to the Big Apple. And anyway, the universe conspired and it happened. And I went to New York and I became a certified coach and I started helping people how to find true love. And then very soon I realized that self-love is a necessary, a key element for finding true love, and the business gravitated. And now I live in Miami. I found another of my soulmates and I got married in New York. We moved to Miami. And yeah, I mean, this is the brief summary. Lots of signs and things that you cannot ignore.
I think that's, you hit it on the head, but if you're not aware of those, I call them serendipities, accidents, coincidences. If you're not aware of those things and you're in the negative mind, they're still happening around you, but you don't see that. You don't even notice them, right?
No, the more you acknowledge them, the more they come. But
say that one more time to the audience. Say that again.
The more you acknowledge the signs and synchronicities that you receive, the more you will get them. It's like with dreams. It's the same. If you don't pay attention to the dreams, it's like letter that it's in your mailbox that you never read.
Good example.
Yeah. But if you start reading the letters, you're still receiving more and more and more. But the funny thing about this is like the universe doesn't want you to miss any sign. Then, for example, one of the reasons why I say that I was destined to move to New York was there was a song of Alicia Keys, State of Mind, where she's like, New York. Then
Right.
I was going to my work to commute. Then if it's not the first song, the second one, show up. I put the radio when I was in the shower, it show up. Day after day after day, it was a reminder. They speak in your language. The universe talks to you directly. then sometimes you want to ignore, but when something is important, don't worry, you will get it. You have free will. You can reject the message. You can decide to do something different, and it's okay. I mean, zero pressure. But if you really start asking for things, answers are going to come. You want to write a book, and suddenly people are sending you resources. You see pages in Google. Things are going to happen that are going to tell you what is the path, how you can make it happen. But you have to put the intention. It has to be a burning desire for you to really connect with the universe and say, help me, please help me, tell me.
Well, but I think it's clear, at least to me it is, and I believe it is to you also, that universal mind, spirits, and angels, I call it God. There's over 100 names for God. So whatever you call it, I have a student that said, can I call it a cup of coffee? I said, you can call it cream. I don't care what you call it. As long as you believe those things are really there. But if you go, I always say, you know, prayer, meditation, you're going, God, I need some help. So I'm going to ask for help. And then you sit around, go for beers with your friends, go to a movie, watch TV. And then you go, I'll do it tomorrow. And then next day comes, I'll do it the next day. 25 years later, I'll do it the next thing you know, you never did anything. And whatever that is, bad relationship, bad job, or you want to have that stuff, you need to have an action. Don't you agree? You need those signs make you feel good for a microsecond. But if you don't do something, you have to do an action, which comes out through the mind, through the physical being, as in intention, writing a book, like you're saying, you're doing something. Do you not agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. And let me tell you why, because
please,
we are here to learn how to love. And love is not a feeling. It's not a physical sensation. It's not a philosophy. It's a verb. Then it has to be demonstrated into action. Then if you really are here to learn how to love yourself and how to love others, then you have to take action. You have to do something about it. And you don't do things because you have to, you must, you should. That it's what governs most of the people. Like we are like in autopilot, doing what we are supposed to do. We have to ask yourself, if I love myself, what is the best choice for me now? And the answer will come there, but the motivation will come because if I love myself enough, I have to do something to change this relationship or abandon it or making it better to really go after my dreams, to make the life, to create it. Create the life that you want. And we believe that we are not capable. It seems that we have born and educated and programmed to believe that this is the only thing that it is. And it's not true. There are many things that you can change. We know nowadays that in neuroscience that the brain is plastic, that you can really let go of belief systems and patterns of thought or behavior that hold you back. And don't believe because you were born like this, because you had bad experiences, because you had trauma, because take out the labels and become a new you. Be who you are meant to be, but without pressure. I teach love means do it with compassion, with kindness, with understanding. Put yourself first and take care of yourself. The more love you cultivate, the more love you will have to share it with others. And it's contagious. That's the best thing.
That is very true. I think what you're saying is right on the money. If you're not comfortable, if you're not in love with yourself, by yourself, how could you be good with anybody else? And it has nothing to do with a relationship, you know, a personal relationship as in a wife or a husband or whatever, boyfriend, girlfriend. It has to do with everybody in your life. Because if you're not, it takes time. I just got off the phone before our interview today, but a friend of mine has gone through some traumatic stuff. And we were talking about that, you know, not listening to the outside. You know, I was giving an example. I said, Judith would come up to me and say, Phil, if you do it my way, just follow the way I do it, everything will work out fine. And, you know, you're listening to, I'm listening to you, but I'm thinking, sorry, Judith, it doesn't work for me. I don't think it's good. And then I tell Jim, my next door neighbor, what Judith told me. So Judith doesn't know what she's talking about. If you follow my, and you keep going around and around and around, it's never going to work because it's a temporary thing. It's a temporary fix, if anything. But you have to understand, and we were talking about, it takes a lot of mental energy. And I think it's good mental energy when you get used to it, to be able to create that self-love, to be able to create the right energy, to create that you're a magnet, you attract what you think about, talk about, and feel, that type of stuff. But it takes work. And you are correct. We put labels on things and go, okay, I'm this, so I can't do it. Whatever that is, doesn't matter. And we're just stuck with it. And we live that way the rest of our lives. We figure, well, I guess I wanted to do this, but I can't do it. I was told, because I'm a music composer and I completed my musical and things are starting to possibly happen with it. But it took a lot of work. Not work as in looking for people, as in sitting praying and meditating, going, where did this come from? Well, I know where it came from. Came from the universe of mind, spirits, and angels. But then I was like, I'm forcing it, trying to find somebody to do it with me. That never works. Never. It's kind of like forcing to find a date or forcing to find a good job. Just sit back. I put it aside. I did something else. And the other thing started taking off. And then suddenly, like 6-8 months later, boom, something happened with the musical. You've got to not force things. Just let things be the way they are. Believe, as you said, you were given this stuff. Give it time.
That's totally true. Things happen within a divine timing, but you press the accelerator or the brake. That's your power. And you said many things. I mean, I can give you 20 answers to everything that you're talking. Good points. But I will say that surrender to the force of the universe means that even though you have your plan, your agenda, you have to be open to see how things are gonna manifest, how things are gonna evolve. And again, if you just are able to keep this vibration of love, love is the most powerful energy in the universe. Love is the highest vibration. Love heals, love transforms what it touches. Love, it's able to bring you what you want. But we are told that we have to change external circumstances. And no, we just have to take care of ourselves and see what is in within me that I can do differently, feel differently, become differently. You want more love in your life? Be love. You want more peace in the world? Become peace. No, we want to stop wars, and then next 5 minutes after having this nice conversation, we go on to fight in the streets or in the line of the supermarket.
Right.
It's not about what is happening outside. It's more about what is happening in the inside. That's the reason why loving yourself or learning how to love yourself is a lifelong process. Not something that happens one day. We have the intellectual understanding of what loving oneself means, but it's a big concept that includes so many things. Then you have to really focus on those that are weak for you. Like, do you have problems with self-worth or self-confidence or to express your desires and needs or to find your voice, or you don't have pleasure in your life, or you don't have fun anymore, or you constantly criticize yourself. I mean, we're talking about like the analytical mind and being Gemini. I'm Taurus, but I'm very mental in my birth chart, astrologically speaking. And that was a very important moment in my life when I realized that I was having so many problems because it was my worst enemy. I couldn't appreciate myself. I was going against myself. I was looking like this inner judge was pointing out everything that was wrong in my life and not saying anything positive. Then be careful with what you entertain in your mind, and because this triggers some things in your body and emotions that you feel, et cetera, et cetera. But the important is, put aside the noise. Go inside, go home, find tools that for you work, where you can connect with yourself, see what is important, and then ask for help. The professionals, to the universe, to whoever you believe in, higher power, self, whatever it is that can help you to put things in your life in alignment, that what you really think and do and you believe is coherent.
Yes.
Because going against yourself, it may work for a little bit, but it has consequences in the long term. It doesn't work.
Your soul
is going to be like saying, hello, this is not working.
Right. I have a question for you. I'd like your point of view on this. So when I tell somebody I love them, like specifically my wife, I'll write, you know, like a card or something like that, or just express it. I think love is a wimpy word. It's not big enough. It's not a good descriptor. I don't know how to say it. If you know what I'm saying, it's like, yeah. You know, and when I tell her that, because to me, love and this is just a small definition of just one part of it. Love is making that cup of coffee first thing in the morning and you got to rush to work. And then the person comes downstairs, the coffee's done. Putting the dishes away, the stupid little things, but they're not stupid because we always think that it's got to be big. It's got to be big. And the amount of things that in life that are that big are not. Well, a lot of things in your life are tiny. They're small. It's the little things. You don't go buy like a brand new house every day. You don't buy a brand new, you know, something big, a big, whatever we define as a big thing. It's the little stuff. It's the, you know, something she did this morning because I was up late last night and working on the musical with my I could say to my executive producer now. That's pretty fancy sounding. But I mean, she's really nice, super nice. I couldn't do without her. You need collaboration with people, whether it's that or just life. But she did something last night. I found out this morning. I'm like, why'd you do that? I told you I'd get it. She goes, don't worry about it. And it's because love is such a, I wish there was another word for it. Just, how could you define that term, that four-letter word?
Or is that stuff for
L-O-V-E? Yeah.
Yeah. Love is, the word has been used so much in different contexts that it has lost its essence. Everybody talk about love and nobody knows what it is.
True.
But I will say that love is a choice.
Ooh.
Love is a choice that when you get up every morning, you decide how I can love my wife better today and tomorrow and the day after. It's a choice. Because if you have to take action, you have to know what to do. You have to pay attention. You have to become aware what are her needs, what is happening. But you can love someone in spite of who the other person is. That's the next level, okay? Mm. We only think about love with our loved ones. If I like you, I can love you. Then,
maybe.
Oh, I love my pets, I love my children. Like if it, there is like a limit, no? Like, oh, love, I can only love these ones. The rest is out. No, you can love the world. You can love everything that it's alive. You can connect with everyone. We are all connected as one. In love, even with a tree, even with a squirrel, you decide to love. You don't have to know someone to love someone. But it's not the romantic idea that we have about love and relationships. It's a different kind of love that is my decision to give all the love that I have to you because I want. And the problem is that we equal love with relationships. And that's nothing. They don't have anything in common. I mean, they seem the same, but they are not. Because relationships can fail. A human imperfect may not be able to love you at the level that you deserve. And the relationship may end, but love is abundant. Love is always there for you. Love will never betray you, hurt you, or anything. It's the energy you are made of. It's always there saying, I am with you. I support you. It's the driving force that you have. And then when you realize that it's inside of you, that you are the source of this love, you never run out of it. And you stop going around like with a radar saying, can you love me? Can you love me? Can you love me, please? Can you love me? You stop taking things personally.
Yes.
You stop trying to possess or fix others.
Yes.
You stop judging others because you are more kind and more compassionate with yourself. And you understand that this is what you bring to the table, the love that you already cultivate, that you have, and that you can love because you want, no matter what, for no reason.
Yeah, I got nothing to say. You hit, I mean, all the, one of the things, there are two things that I marked down was, I have a question. What's the opposite of love? You know, because in the universe, right? On, off, day, night, you know, that, I mean, there's always an opposite in the world. That's what's designed.
Yeah.
So what would be the opposite of love?
I will think that not paying attention, ignoring, not fear, but kind of not even rejection.
Like a distancing.
Yeah.
You don't want to look at that.
You don't exist for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I was just curious about that.
When we think about love, we think about being seen by the other person. Then if I don't see you, then that's the opposite for me of true love.
But and isn't love also, at least the way I think it is, saying all the stuff you won't say to anybody else? Now, there's different kinds of love. Obviously, like you said, Love a husband, wife, children. There's a different things that you that falls under. But I'm just referring to my relationship with my wife. If I can't, for lack of a better term, I'll express my fears or concerns or nervousness or whatever you want to call it to that person. Now, granted, if you're always negative and you share only negativity, you're always going to be negative. I'm just saying that when you're going to something that's new, or you're just scared, or as my grandmother used to say, who lived to 99, she was a scared, which I think is afraid and a scared put together. But it's, I think that's important. I think that's a huge part of love, because when I made the transition as an engineer in the medical field to music composing, philosophy, and a podcast, people are going, what? I had to really consult the people I trust. And there's, you know, it was my parents at the time, my wife, and a couple of my best friends that I've had for over 30 years. But you really have to, but it's also being vulnerable. Wouldn't you say love can be vulnerable, and you have to be able to kind of bear to improve yourself?
I'm going to give you a double answer. Yes, I think that to be in a relationship, you have to be able to open and be vulnerable and be well received, that there is a safe place where you can just be yourself. That's the definition of a soulmate, by the way. Someone with whom you really can be yourself. At the same level, we have a lot of barriers and protections and things that we have built up to really be sure that we are accepted and loved in the world, that we're not going to lose the love that we want. That's the reason why we cannot be ourselves in whatever relationship, because we feel like if we show up the way we are, we're going to be rejected.
Right. They go bye-bye.
Exactly. And that's a big problem for us as humans. Not because we are going to lose the love, it's because we haven't built the self-love to say, okay, maybe you don't understand me, but I don't have any problem with that. If you don't get me, someone else will get me.
Right.
I get myself very well.
Right.
I'm happy with who I am. Then the problem of needing a safe space to just be able to have this place in the world where I can just show myself as I am, it's also like the demonstration that we don't love ourselves enough, because we suffer so much from what other people are going to think about me and the comparison, or what the world tells us to be. And if we are out of the path, then we are weird. And if we are weird, then what's going to happen with us? And it comes from the limbic part of our brain, where we were tribes of people. And if you were alone, you were sure we were going to be eaten by a lion next night.
Right.
Then we needed the community. We needed to be accepted. And we needed this group of people to support us. But we are not living in that world anymore. Then one of the ways that you see that someone loves herself or himself is that is able to be authentically who he is without thinking about, well, what are you going to... It's just the opposite. Because of the energy that this person has around, people want to hang out with her or with him because it feels good to be with this person that has no regard about, oh, what is going to happen, or showing up, or bragging about. It's just herself.
Wow.
That's it.
Wow. I mean, you always, you know, the people that have been, for me, powerful in my life, my grandma, my mother, not in this order either, my sister, who's been gone for a while now, but still is with me. I believe it's just a slight frequency change. You feel them all the time, but we don't want to acknowledge it. We think it's ghosts or spirit. Those are good things. Those things that I always think that, you know, when I see somebody's picture in my mind, or it's usually just an image, I'm like, they're here. They're here, especially when you're sleeping. You know, you hear something kind of creak in the wood.
They visit you in the dreams, sure.
That's what dreams are for. And you hit that earlier. But it's so true. When one of the things that you mentioned about putting the accelerator on or the brakes, we have free will. We are given choice, but we also have free will. And for me, I say it, I've eliminated all negativity in my life. Now, if there's some people in my family that are not necessarily people I want to hang with, and we're at a family gathering, I just limit my time. But if somebody's going to be negative and somebody goes negative on me, I'm not going to scream. I'm not going to yell. I'm going to, you know what? It was nice knowing you. Thank you. However I do it with
I do it with respect. They might not even know they're doing it, but I refuse negativity and being conscious of it anymore. That includes all information from the outside of me that I can't. For over 2,000 years on the planet Earth, when's man's and humanity band been good? I mean, in the 800s, and I'm not a history buff, in the 800s, people were lopping people's heads off and killing families just for what? Money and power. Is that ever going to change? No. Can we change it? Everybody in our lives? No. We were talking about family members and different things in our lives before we hit record. You love them, but you can't change them. You can, things that are going on in my family, you can't change them.
You said respect. I'm going to say treat them with love.
There you go again.
Hold the space for them, because, you know, there is a text of Gary Zukav that I admire that I use in my workshop, Fall in Love with Yourself, that explains people that when someone does something and you are triggered because you don't want this behavior or you don't accept that or they have insulted you, if you react, it's because they push a button that you have it already inside of yourself. Then if they try to push the button, but there is no button, they're not going to do it. Then we tend to make other people be the guilty ones for making us feel in a certain way. Like, I don't like negativity. You come with negativity. You make me feel bad. I don't want negativity in my life. You out. No. Like, if you don't want it, the only thing that you have to do is not take it.
Or
use a prayer to release outside influences.
Right. Release it.
But the person has all the rights to be negative
because
you're created with free will.
Absolutely.
The problem is that we tend to look, again, outside of ourselves as the source of the problem. No. If you have zero negativity inside of you, the other person being negative, it's going to create a sense of even awe, like, oh, really? People think like this? Is it possible that really? Even when you see TV after a long time without not seeing news and all of this, like, oh, this is happening in the world. Wow. Then it's just take care of yourself, simplify your life, resolve what is within yourself, and don't try to judge, criticize, or fix the world. Just with you, you have more than enough to do.
Yeah.
But do it with love.
Yes. Yeah. I couldn't say it any better. I'm just looking over some of the other things that we're going to talk about, but we kind of answered a lot of these. Oh, this is a good one. I always tell people unforgiveness is worse than forgiveness, not forgiving somebody. And we do, whether they're alive or they're dead, doesn't matter. And we've all gone through that. How do you transform that in your life? And how can you tell the audience about forgiveness, or I call it unforgiveness, but not forgiving, because there's something you were talking about earlier. You know,
this is one of my favorite topics.
Good. I love this stuff because, you know, when you in unforgiveness, among many other things we do to ourselves that are negative, and when you have those negative thoughts in your mind, it comes out as toxins inside your body. And then you trust your body. So I always tell people, trust your body. If you're having an upset stomach, like coughing or burping, some stupid stuff, like your body's telling you what my mind's going through. And sometimes you're not aware of what it is until you start looking at it, or somebody tells you that's close to you, they're going, you're doing something stupid. I'm like, my wife pointed out something yesterday. I'm like, I am? She goes, every time this happens, this is how you're reacting. I'm like, I am? I wasn't even aware of it. So with unforgiveness and forgiveness, let's put some chops into this, as they say. Let's put some teeth into this. Tell me what's going on between those two things and how that not forgiving is so much worse than forgiving. And yourself first.
Yeah, I know. Forgiveness is an act of self-love. But we have it wrong because we tend to imagine that if we forgive something that has been bad, we are going to condone or forget, or we have to allow the other person to come back into our lives, or the event that we hate, it's going to be like, there is no justice for us. And we hold on to something that was bad. It can be an experience. It can be something that happened in our relationship. Any event, it doesn't matter. We have this idea of the religious aspect of forgiveness. Like, you have to be a good person and forgive. That's not the way I work with this. I was mentioning before we start the interview that I do consultations on the Akashic Records, and I teach people how to connect with this field of information when everything is recorded. And I love the idea that from the Akashic Records, we have a prayer to let go, to release, to forgive. That I can read it, I can share it, it's very powerful. But the idea is that whatever it happens in the past, no matter if you have been conscious or unconscious about it, because there are things that we have forgotten, things that we have done that we don't even know. And it doesn't matter if others have hurt us or we have hurt others. The idea is that when we are ready to release this, we can send this energy to the universe. It can be recycled. And we do this not because the other person deserves to be forgiven. It's because we deserve to be free and to move forward with our lives. Then the idea is that when we don't forgive this thing that we don't like in our lives, that it was painful, it was hurtful,
right,
that we have a wound because of it, continues being in our lives, then if you really want to not detach, just make it disappear, you have to let it go. And the more important it is, the bigger it is, the sooner you have to let it go. But we tend to accumulate. We are not trained to release, to forgive in the moment. That's the reason whatever tool you have, I have a certification in Ho'oponopono, this Hawaiian technique with these four sentences. No, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I have a special vibration, but it has the same idea. Like, we are trying to release whatever it is that I'm bringing to the table for the other person to do that. Then when I'm ready to really release, the energy changes. There is a shift in the moment. Then we were talking about, yeah, you need a space of vulnerability when you have a problem where you go. Yeah, you need your loved ones. But you know what I do when I have a problem right now? I open my Akashic Records and I journal. And I ask them, what should I do? I had an argument with this person. I have this problem. I have this insecurity. I have this fear. This is all happening. How do I organize my life in terms of? Then we are all supported, but we have put a lot of stuff on top of us. These fears, limiting belief, experiences of the past, trauma, childhood events, all of these things. And this is the moment to look at this suitcase that we carry with all this stuff inside. And I say, what do I need to release? What do I need to let go? What do I need to forgive? This is past, and the past should remain in the past. If you don't allow it, it's not going to come into your present anymore. For sure, not in your future. But if you keep bringing it, because there is this invisible cord between what had happened to you and who you are now, you are inviting what you don't want into your life constantly. Then maybe this is the moment to say goodbye to all of this. Say, okay, this is my story. I'm not able to change it. But I let it go. I let it go because I choose myself. Because I am more important than whatever event happened in my life. And I can transform my future. I choose right here, right now. This next breath is my new life. And I forgive. Not because others deserve, because I deserve.
Yeah. Very great explanation. Saying you're sorry, first of all, is very difficult. One of the things I did, and you know, we do tend to get, I say forgiveness or unforgiveness or not forgiving what you're talking about, but I put don't ask me why. I put a hard-boiled egg in a new microwave like a few months ago and it blew up. Now, this is no different than other things. And I was getting really mad at the microwave. So I'm starting to yell. I'm yelling. I'm saying expletives. I'm getting all pissed off. And my wife's sitting at the kitchen table. She goes, "Are you done?" I said, "Yeah, I think so." She goes, "Yeah, you got this philosophy. Why don't you apply this?" I go, "Okay, you know." And then, and I said, she was right. Of course she was right. So I said, "I don't like this version of myself." She goes, "What does that mean?" I said, "Well, because whether it's unforgiveness or not forgiving, or whether it's anger or whatever it is, you know, when you're in that instantaneous moment, the mind, the nervous system doesn't know where these feelings come. It didn't know that feeling was 20 years ago or now. Think of the worst thing that ever happened to you. Don't do it right now. And your whole nervous system will start reacting because your mind activates your body. And what I noticed And I've already known, but I noticed even more that day was my body started getting tense, like a fist, mm-hmm. my blood pressure raising, my heart going up. And for me, I started coughing or I'll burp or saw something stupid, like I said earlier. And I'm like, you're not stuck with it, but you know how you're like, don't do this, don't say it. And you said it, it's too late. And it isn't too late, because if you can reverse that in an instant, one of the things that I think is the best way, if you and I were arguing, I say, you know, Judith, I love you, but I don't agree, but I love you. Can we just move on? When you say the word, I love you, with heart, with meaning, with intent, not just to say, yeah, I love you, have a good day. You know, when you're doing that, but if you do it with intent, you look at somebody, you send that energy, it really, it diffuses it. It takes it away. And hatred will always exist on planet Earth. And like you said earlier, forgiveness and unforgiveness. That's why we go to wars. That's why we argue. That's why we fight. That's why my dad's my grandfather, who I never met, died way before I was born. He had like 6-7 brothers and sisters. Nobody talks to anybody anymore. If I pick up the phone, I try to talk to somebody. I'm not talking to you because something your grandmother did 60 years ago. Click. I'm like, hello? My grandmother's been dead for 25 years. But this is what we do, right? We hold these weird things in our, you call it in a suitcase or in a folder or a filing cabinet. And then we have these things, and then our physical being reacts to it. And we just go back and forth, like a ping pong ball, back and forth, back and forth.
You say we, I say I don't.
You're right, no. Neither do I. You're correct.
Exactly. Then again, people holding a higher level of consciousness can transform many others that don't have. Then again, focus on what you do. Like, we are so judgmental, and it's something that I learned as a coach. Like, respect the path of the others, the speed of the path. If they are not ready, they are not ready. If they see it differently, they have the right to exist. They are here. They're here for a reason, really to trigger you,
right,
to be more loving and more accept them more even than you are.
Yeah.
Then it doesn't matter. Like in the news, you see, how is the world going? No, look at your news. How are you doing? What is happening inside of yourself? Ooh. How do you feel? How is your body reacting?
Ooh.
What is your body trying to say? Do you spend enough time alone? Do you listen to the messages that you receive? Is the universe communicating with you? Are you meditating or praying? Or is both ways communication? Do you feel good? Do you feel satisfied, fulfilled? Are you in love with your life or not? No, yeah. We tend to go out, listen to the rest of the staff, to ignore what is happening with us. Then I'm sorry, but you have responsibility first with you.
I like your statement about news. What's your news? I like that. I'm going to put a bumper sticker on my car. What is the news? Forget the news on the outside. It never changes. Never. When somebody said, you eliminate negativity, I said, this is it. These people hate these people. These people are getting this. We're going to war. Blah, blah, blah. Because every generation goes, this is the worst time ever. And then when we're gone, our kids will go, this is the worst time ever. And then the next generation, it's never going to change. World War I, World War II, depressions, economic disasters, people starving. Should these things exist? No. Can you do anything about it? No. No, you can't do anything about it. I'm not saying you accept it. I'm not saying if you want to volunteer or you want to help, that's fine. But getting angry, getting all frustrated about it, listening to it over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, you're not going to be connected with yourself and with the universal mind, the spirits and angels, creating the coincidence, serendipities and accidents during your sleep, which is the most important part of your day, is sleep. That's the only way you get those inspirations. You've got to, how are you going to wake up? If you're watching the news or you're watching Night of the Living Dead or some stupid TV show that's really depressing and everybody's getting shot and blown up, what do you think your mind's going to focus on when you're sleeping? Not that. That's why I meditate and pray before I go to bed, because then I can wake up in a good mood. People wake up in a bad mood. Think about what you went to sleep like. What were you watching? What were you talking about? What were you reading? I will not, if I see a movie on the internet or whatever, and I want to see it, and something came up, and I immediately go, that's negative, I turn it off. If I see one thing.
I cannot do it anymore, but even for those that still choose to do that at night, I have a practice.
Go.
When you go to sleep, decide to close the day. Really, that's the end? Okay, I'm going to go to sleep. That's the end. And put everything that had happened in a box. Send it to a spaceship. Think what went well, not the problems that you have. What then you are grateful for. What you are going to get excited tomorrow when you get up.
Yep.
Okay? Then close the day and go to bed. You can even ask for a dream. You can incubate dreams. I teach that. Then have fun at night. Resolve problems. This is what dreams are about.
Bingo.
Yeah, and the same when you get up. You get up, connect with the things that matter. Don't take the phone immediately and reconnect with the same right. stuff that happened yesterday. What are your intentions for today? Like, I get up and I say, I'm joyful, I'm grateful, and I'm feeling great.
That's
it. Great in the morning? No.
No.
It's like, I feel like I cannot wake up. Then I am tired. But just that makes me connect with my intention for the day. And then I start feeling great. And then I go for a walk and I feel even greater.
Yeah.
And then I can hold this vibration of love for myself and everything that exists. But
yes.
If you go back to the known, to whatever you are cultivating every day, same thoughts, same problems, same people, all the same, then you cannot expect different results.
No. And that's so true. I mean, we discount, we're on the same frequency with this. We're on the same frequency with a lot of stuff, but on the frequency on that sleeping, we don't look into sleeping. People's like, I know people that check their email at 3 o'clock in the morning. What? It's a scientific fact. You get light into your eyes. This is not rocket science. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have what she has her degree in. It's logical. You turn the light on when you're sleeping, you ain't going back to sleep real fast. You need to surround yourself with quietness. Surround yourself with colored spectrums of light that make you feel good at night. We shut down everything. Do you know what one of my favorite functions on my cell phone is? Airplane mode.
And you should turn off all EMFs around you.
Oh, yeah.
Anything electrical near you and all of these things. And even like the way you dress when you sleep, like nice fabrics, soft fabrics, all of these things affect your sleep. But I think that we are overworked, multitasking all the time, connected to everything that is happening.
It's too much.
If there is no time for silence, if there is no time to be alone with yourself to disconnect, our system, the nervous system, cannot deal with it.
Oh.
And there is a moment where you have to do it, and it's not enough a vacation. It has to be a day-to-day practice where you can take breaks between activities or really take it seriously when you go to bed. What is the best environment? As you described very well. And also, there is a part that the physical and the spiritual. I mean, at night, your body, hour by hour, every organ takes care of the different functions and regeneration. And then it's important what you eat, at what time you go to sleep, the routine that you have, what you watch. But at the same time, we travel every night, not our physical body. We have a body that travels. And is connected with us through a cord, a silver cord. And we do stuff at night, spiritual stuff. We visit places, we talk to people visit us and all of these things. It's mm-hmm. it's an interesting realm where we can do a lot of things that you sleep for 1/3 of your life. Mm-hmm. Then maybe you can do something useful with this guy.
Yeah.
Instead of just thinking that I'm going to sleep and that's it.
Right.
Then I teach active dreaming also because one of my favorite teachers on earth, alive, on dreams is Robert Moss. And it's his technique on how you can enter in this state relaxation, deep relaxation through the music of drums and all of this. And then you can visit places that have been created by the imagination of the dreamers. Then you that like these things, I invite you to try, But dreams really transform my life and change everything. And when you have matters of the souls, you can ask for an answer of your worries, of your concerns, of your challenges in dreams. a lot of people that are creative, directors of movies, movie stars, they say that the idea came to me in dreams.
Yep.
Because it's when your conscious really rests and the unconscious that has a lot of information and a lot of power in your life. You make decisions based on all this that you have stored in the unconscious, give you the clues of things that you can create, you can do differently, that you can resolve. And it's an amazing, amazing part of our lives.
And we discount imagination. We were told when we were kids, stop using it, pay attention. Not that you didn't have to. You needed to learn how to speak a language. You needed to learn how to add or subtract or whatever. But imagination is the, Albert Einstein said it really well, it's the preview of coming attractions. Last night, I don't know what time it was, but I wake up, I've done this my whole life. I wake up, turn over, like, ooh, there's a song there. I'll remember, and I should know better. I wrote an entire musical. I woke up all the time. This kept going on for like 6 months. And if I have, I usually don't have them as much during the night as I used to, but if I'm focused on something, like I am with my musical right now, something came, then I'll remember it. I went back to sleep. It's gone. Oh, it's gone.
You have to write it. Yeah.
It's
have
gone.
A journal.
It's
have
gone.
A journal for dreams.
But it's okay because I'm going to ask for it again. It'll come around some way or another, and I won't even know that it is because it's gone. But that's one of those things that just are touching you. And I believe sleep. I agree with you. Sleep is more important than food. There is so much that we're not getting out of sleep. So
both.
Much that we. I'm sorry.
Both. Because I love to eat.
That oh, that's true.
Both things.
This is true. But no, but well, you know what I mean. When you're awake, yeah. You could choose your food. But when you're sleeping, you're not. No, you're not thinking you can choose this. Yeah, you can. But it takes practice, and people are not patient. So practice, practice. My grandmother used to say this. The only time you become a master of something is when you're 6 feet under the ground. You can't learn nothing else. And I always tell people, I'm a practicer. I'm not a man because I don't know. Those who claim to be the wise men shoe the fool. I don't know everything. And I don't want to know everything. That's why I have the show. That's why I have relationships. So I talk to people on these shows and anything I do with my stuff with the philosophy at the health club, blah, blah, blah. Because I'm learning from people. I'm learning from listening to you. And I believe most people on the planet are good people. I think most people are not angry. I think most people are looking for a family, soul, spirit. A connection. They might not know how, or they know how and they want to learn more. But I do believe, and that's why this show exists, because it's about making connections with people. It's about making a difference, about passing it forward. It's about empowering others, empowers ourselves. This stuff works. I'm just touching on a tiny bit of people that I'm talking to. They're all over the world, all over the world. And when you talk to them, you might call it something different, but it's the same thing. It's the same thing. And that's why I love about these conversations. Before we go.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the witness, Philip.
Well, thank you very much for being on the show. I also wanted to let people know it's called Akashic, correct?
Yes.
A-K-A-S-H-I-C Records. I would look it up. It's very old. It's from, I think, the early 1800s, I think, something around there. Or is
all
it further?
Spiritual books talk about it. There are references in, of course, in the West, but here in the Bible. And let me just say briefly what it is. There is
Please.
A field of information where everything about you is recorded. Every thought, every experience, every feeling, every event. It's like if you have a webcam here that goes with you. And usually we use the metaphor of the book of your soul. Like if there is a library out there that contains the book of the soul of everyone, then in a consultation, in a private session, we take the book that opens up exactly the page that contains the answer to the questions of the client. But it's more a video. Right now, this conversation that we are having, Philip, is being recorded in the Akashic Records, but with your perspective, your thoughts, your feelings about what is happening, and the same with my nervousness, my ideas, the comments that I make and all of this, then it's not just one idea that we are writing about, oh, this happened that day, the conversation between Philip and Judith. No, it remains everything in there neutral as a pure record. And the word Akashic comes from Akasha, that it's a Sanskrit word that means the ether. It's very difficult from our perspective as humans to understand what the Akashic records are. And a lot of physicists has been studying this, like Erwin Laszlo, nominated twice to the Nobel Prize. And you know that quantum physics and now spirituality are becoming together. That happens to see. That's the reason why the Akashic Records are becoming more popular and more books are published every day about this concept. But it's really interesting to know that there is some beings, they don't have a name or a body, you know? We call them
like
masters.
Like a spirit or an angel, something like that, right?
Guardians of the Akashic Records.
Right.
No, they're not angels or archangels. They are just...
I mean, something you can't see.
They are emissaries of the divine, pure and conditional love that guard this information and that give it to you with doses. This is not about a psychic reading or opening the Pandora box, like, oh, here you have. You want to know who you were in past lives?
Here you go. Yeah.
They meet you where you are. They give you what you need to take the next step. And at the same time, I give private sessions. I teach people, everyone can do this. Then in a weekend, you can really learn how to open your Akashic Records and have this oracle open for you 24/7 and ask them, I mean, what do I do to pay the American Express or what is the purpose of my life? It doesn't matter. They will help you with everything that you present into the conversation. And I heard you saying in other shows, like, that it's good to journal. Then that's the way we communicate with the Akashic Records. We ask questions, and with a pen and a paper, we write the answers. That is not everything in our mind, that we anchor the energy into the physical. And there is an art of asking questions and asking again and all of this. And it's very interesting. It's a fascinating world. I love what I do because, again, it's in the realm of love where I move around.
Well, I think the thing to take out of a lot of the stuff is there's not one way. And there's so many different philosophies, belief systems. I mean, I really had never heard of Akashic before. Thank you for the explanation. So please look it up, A-K-A-S-H-I-C Records. If you want more information or you want to have a consultation, go to her website, Judith Costa, and find her. I'm sorry?
Judith M.
Costa. JudithMCosta.com, I'm assuming. Check her out. You can find her. And I was going to say, leave a positive aphorism, but you just did. So I want to thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate you taking the time.
I appreciate the invitation and I have a great time with you and we can talk forever.
Absolutely. We'll have to have you back for another show. And I will end it the same way I always do. Remember, it is more important to express your thinking thoughts and not the thoughts you are thinking. That is what is called conscious communication. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to Conscious Communication. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and recommend on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can also get more great information at consciouscommunicationpodcast.com.